Welcome to Trial by Wine. We take a closer look at crimes that highlight how fascinating humans can be. Schmitty, Swanee and Clarkey visit crimes and run them through their jury of three, debating both sides of the case to agree an appropriate, if totally fictitious, sentence. Please be advised, Trial by Wine may include explicit or disturbing content and will include drunken rambling. Listener discretion is advised.
All right, how are we?
Flustered.
Going very well. Flustered.
No, flustered. Yes.
Child issues.
How are you, Schmitty? Oh, yeah, always. Everyone, anyone who's got kids will know if it's week 7.5, I think, of 8 weeks, there's a reason for being flustered. And that's a polite way of describing it.
Sounds like
anyway.
A very good reason, too.
It's kind of like a push to the end where this bit you have to kind of get them all ready for next week with the idea that actually with, you know, the long weekend coming that you might actually be able to not focus on that, just be ready for next week. So it's these couple of days are a little bit sort of let's get it all done. Yep, let's get it all ready. Done. Yeah, but, you know, nothing dire, just a bit over it. Jeremy's just been with some people who've got kids in a similar age group and apparently they're very much looking forward to next week too. It's not an uncommon situation to be in. Anyway, how are you, Pear? How are you guys?
Yeah, we're good. We're good. Just stuffing things on the farm.
So let's introduce ourselves. I'm Schmitty.
I'm Swanee.
And I'm Clarkey. And together we are
Trial by Wine. What are we drinking?
Swanee, go on.
Sparkling water.
Yeah.
Sparkling water, right.
Yep. Although I have restocked the house. I could have bought up a DC.
Oh. Did anyone die for drinking the last ones? We're on Captain Morgan spice rum and ginger beer. Delicious.
Back on the dark and yum. Stormy. Very nice. Yes. Dark and stormy, dark and cloudy. Dark and stormy, I think they are. Something like that. Cloudy, stormy, something. I'm having a cheeky gin and tonic because it's 26 degrees now, but it's still warm. And so I'm having a Four Pillars Bloody Shiraz gin.
Oh, nice.
And, oh, sorry, not tonic, soda. So very I'm nice. sort of joining you on that, Swanee, in as much as there's soda water in it.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Twins. Yeah.
All right. So let me tell you a little story. You ready?
I'm ready.
Mm-hmm. First off, my sources for the story are palmbeachpost.com, People.com, NYPost.com, DailyMail.uk, Murderpedia, CBSNews.com, ABC News, which took a lot of its content from the 2020 report, Medium.com, ChillingCrimes.com, and something on YouTube.com, which I haven't actually directly referenced, so I can't tell you what it was, but it was vaguely interesting. All right, so where to start this story? So we've touched on the phenomenon of clowns in the past. I recently covered the story of a clown in Scotland that was leaving cryptic messages for people. And, of course, Swanee covered John Wayne Gacy, who liked to dress as a clown, but not when he was killing anyone.
No.
As a hobby, I guess. And, of course, we've talked about Stephen King's It and Pennywise and basically the terrifying nature of clowns. Then again, there's the flip side, clown passions, that explores the deeper emotional relationships between those who like to dress as clowns. I find the whole clown thing weird and funny, so I decided to do a clown crime, and this one is about a killer clown from 1990. Now, if you're wondering why I pause at various times, I will explain for context that, as you know, I broke my arm, and I have had to use assistive technology to write my notes for this story. And I used speech to text, which clearly doesn't understand my accent or the way I speak. So, for example, that last sentence said, anyway, I find the whole clown thing weird and funny, so I decided to do a clam crown.
A clam crown.
And so I had to very quickly.
A clown crime?
A clam crown.
Clown crime.
A clown crime is what I said, yeah.
That's a mouthful.
So I just warn you that we might have a few of those in the text of this story as I go along. So this is the story of Marlene Warren, who was born.
Marlene. I love the name Marlene, but she's not going to be Australian, is she, which is disappointing.
No, she's born in Michigan.
Marlene.
She grew up wanting a big family of her own and married John Ahrens in her teens. And I did the math, and so she probably was maybe Well, she was 16 when she had her first son, so I'm not quite sure when she got married, but she started early. She had two sons, John Jr. and Joseph. But very sadly, John Aaron Sr. fell ill and died when she was just 20 of an illness.
Oh, gosh.
So Marlene was a single mother, and she worked extremely hard to give everything to her children. And when she was 26, she married another man called Michael Warren, who called himself Mike.
I thought you were going to say married Ronald McDonald. That would have been perfect.
I feel like I'm on high alert for a clown at this point. I don't know why, because you've given us something.
Is that the clown?
She's the clown. Who's the clown? Where's the clown? Where's the clown? We're probably peaking a bit early. Yeah.
I was so stuck on Mike Warren and the names that I'm like, what's that got to do with Ronald McDonald? And then I just remember clowns. I'm like, oh, I forgot all about that. Goodness me. So Mike ran a car rental business, which was also a secondhand car business, and it had a really brilliant name. As a marketer, I think it was particularly special. It was Bargain Motors. And I've read in various sources that it was A Bargain Motors.
Oh, so they'd be the front of the – oh, wow, very clever.
But I'm not sure if that's correct, but so I'm going to go with Bargain Motors because it makes more sense. After a while
– I think that would be good, actually. It's A Bargain in terms of you get a bargain, and also in terms of the listing in those days, it would have been the first thing. So I think it was brilliant. So well done.
A Bargain Motors. Right, okay. They worked quite hard as a couple, and things were pretty good. Marlene herself was a successful businesswoman. So from the time that her husband had died, she literally saved and scrimped and worked super hard to be able to invest in property and do all sorts of things so that she could build basically a portfolio and a life for her children.
Lady boss Marlene.
She was. And she owned quite a few rental properties in West Palm Beach in Florida. So, yes, this is a Florida story now.
Even better.
And she also invested in Mike's used car and rental business. Yeah. She also had a racehorse and an airplane to give you an idea of how well she made it. And she also worked as a cargo ship inspector.
Is she the clown? Because she sounds very busy, like she could be a serial killer busy.
She's a lovely woman. She's not a clown. No. She's not serial killer. She's just a busy woman raising two sons, being a good wife to her husband.
And nailing it.
I did read a thing that said that she, at the time that things go pear-shaped, she actually wanted to sell some of her rental properties because she found it quite hard when people couldn't pay the rent. She didn't like putting people out. She didn't like affecting people's lives because she was actually just a very nice person.
Aww.
So she was, whilst she worked really, really hard and she had the money, she didn't have that kind of obsessive nature about money. She wasn't prepared to kill anyone for it or even let people be homeless because of money. She's a good egg. But as a result of all her really, really hard work, they had been able to buy a house in the very exclusive area in Wellington, Florida, as part of a place called the Aero Club community. And from what I understand, everyone there was pretty well off. To illustrate that, one of the selling points of the estate is that there's a private runway for her, thus her having
the name was,
And I had a little look at the house value now, the actual house that they lived in, and it's currently worth about $2.5 million US dollars. And there were houses in that estate that seemed to be going for upwards of $8 million US. It was a 5-bedroom, 4-bath house, if you're
That's
interested.
A lot.
Anyway, life wasn't always great. Or was it a 4-bedroom? No, I think it was 5-bed, 4-bed, 4-bath. Anyway, life wasn't always great for Marlene. Very tragically, her older son, John, so John Jr., died in a car accident in 1988 when he was 22. And it had a really profound effect on Marlene. And, of course, it affected the relationship with Mike. Because she never actually got over it, as you wouldn't when you lose a child or a loved one. Also, Mike wasn't entirely legit, and he was running some pretty nefarious activities around his business, including fraud and racketeering. And Sheila once told her son, I don't know who Sheila is, sorry, Marlene once told her son Joseph that if anything does happen to me, your father did it. Joseph was, no way, you'd never do anything like that. And she said, don't put it past him.
Yeah.
Marlene knew that things weren't good and he wasn't one to be trusted. Her mother also recalled Marlene saying that she thought Mike was having an affair and that they were likely to get a divorce. And again, if anything ever happened to her, Mike did it.
Yeah.
And of course, because pretty much the rental properties and because she'd invested in the business, a lot of the assets of the marriage were in her name. So if they had a divorce, it would have been pretty tricky for Mike. So on May 26, 1990, everything changed. Marlene and her son, Joseph, the surviving son, and three of his friends, Jean Pratt, Wendell Pratt, and Mindy Pratt, Perez, sorry, were having breakfast at their home at the Wellington, Florida house. Yeah. When they saw a white Chrysler LeBaron pull into the driveway. And then there was a knock at the front door. Marlene went to answer the door. And standing there was a clown. Orange wig, big red nose, and a white face, and wearing a traditional clown outfit. And this clown was holding a bunch of flowers and some balloons.
Oh, that's nice.
One of the balloons had the words, "You're the greatest" on it. And the other one had Snow White and the Seven Dwarves on it. Apparently, Marlene had a bit of a thing for clowns. I saw several images and references to a painting that she had actually done herself of a clown, and her family were big on clowns. They liked them, and they had paintings of them in the house.
Oh, Marlene.
They just like clowns, right?
Oh, yeah. I hate to judge because I'm sure something's going to
happen. But judge away, it's clowns.
Marlene, no. Oh. Mm, I know.
I know.
Them too. The mother's house is full of clown pictures too. Maybe not now, but they were there.
Yeah.
Well, actually, they passed away last year, so I doubt she has clowns anymore. However, this clown wasn't clowning around. Joseph heard his mother say, "How pretty," and then a loud bang.
No.
The clown had shot her in the face.
Oh, no. What? I thought the bang might have been a whack, not a gunshot. Yeah.
Point blank
range, and I also heard a report that she was shot in the mouth. Oh. So, you know.
Oh.
Yeah. So this is one of those rather not amusing but amusing speech to text moments where when I wrote the dictated the clown had shot her in the face, MS Word decided to translate that as had shot her in the thighs.
Jeez, and that's unusual.
What? So face. Okay.
I think she would have been happier with the thighs. It might have worked a bit differently.
As long as you didn't hit the – whatever artery it is there, then you're fine. Yeah.
You probably would have, but, you know, yeah.
Yes. So that escalated quickly. The clown then turned and walked calmly back to the car, which swiftly drove away from the scene, leaving Marlene bleeding and mortally wounded on her.
Was there a driver, do we know, or was the clown driving as well?
Yeah, there was a driver. No, there was a driver.
Oh, there was a driver. Okay.
Yeah. Joseph and his friends immediately ran outside. And turns out the next door neighbour who happened to be walking his dog passed and also heard the shot, and his wife was around. So she called 911 and told everyone to stay at the scene.
Yeah.
I heard an account that the son had jumped in a car and tried to chase the clown car to no avail, but, you know, I didn't see that anywhere else. But anyway, Marlene was rushed to hospital. They tried very valiantly to save her, but after 2 days she died of her injuries. So the police, though, of course, because it was 2 days while she was in hospital. The police already had started investigating the assault at that point, and then it was then made a homicide.
Where do you start looking for a clown?
But they good question, right? So it wasn't easy because they did join with the local forces agencies, joined the FBI in their efforts to unravel it because, as you say, like a clown, you know, how do you – What evidence is left? How do you manage that, right? Like, you might have witnesses, and the point blank range in the morning, people saw the clown, but how do you identify who is under all of that, right?
Yep.
Marlene didn't have any enemies, as far as they knew. She was a very well liked woman. So, of course, if you're looking at someone who's just been shot in the face and has no known enemies, you're going to look pretty immediately at their
someone
husband
who knows
or
very,
the family,
very well.
Right?
Yep.
Straight away, they start looking at whether or not Mike was dodgy. Mike had a rock-solid alibi, though. He was actually 120 k's away on his way to the Miami races, and he was in a car with other people. So there was no refuting the fact that he could not have been the shooter.
He must have been devastated.
Man clown.
Oh, he was. When he found it with the – no. When they called him and he found out about it, he raced back to Wellington and he went straight to the hospital and he stayed by Marlene's side. Okay. The entire time until she passed away. So, yes, he was very, very sad.
Well, ha-ha.
Or was he?
He was clowning around.
Of course, wearing a clown outfit is probably one of the best disguises you could use if you wanted to shoot someone in front of other people and not be identified.
That's probably one of the biggest learnings we've learned. One of the biggest learnings about from Trouble by Wine, period. So if it is something we want to pursue, it's a clown costume we will need to partake.
Well, a costume that... Basically,
yes. Well, it covers everything. It covers your face, your hair, your sides. Can cover your body. Maybe not your height, though.
Shoes.
Ah, but as you will discover from this case, it's not perfect.
No, it's not perfect.
Okay, so they didn't have the perpetrator didn't have any notable limp, missing any limbs, or a cast on their arm, did for they argument's
have,
sake.
Forgive me for asking because it's probably a ridiculous detail, but did they have clown shoes on? Because that would be tricky.
That's what ridiculous I was wondering.
Detail. I will get onto it in a moment. Yeah,
because that would be tricky getting back to the car, having just shot someone going, I'd have to factor that in, going, oh, I could be stumbling. But yeah, that would freak me out. I could stumble and the whole thing's, you know, falling apart.
You and this shooter had the same thoughts because the only thing that the witnesses were able to really say was that the clown was very tall, had dark eyes, and was wearing lace-up boots.
Not clown boots. I.e.,
she wasn't
wearing clown shoes.
They were not wearing clown shoes, no. They were lace-up boots like a workman's type of boots.
That's a mistake, I reckon.
Yeah, but to Swanee's point, it's about how quickly you can get back to the getaway car without falling.
That was more what
shoes.
I was thinking of. Yeah, yeah. You have to fact that in, the whole thing.
But that's the weakness in the disguise.
There'd be no getaway if you're rolling around the front.
Well, at this point in time, without, you know, it's a bit of a spoiler alert, but everyone thought it was a man.
Yeah.
Because they were tall, skinny, and were wearing work boots. Everyone
assumed it was that woman from that wrote the rocking incident in episode 3 or whatever it was. So I remember someone wrote their initials on the rock. And it was it Jeanette or someone? And she was really pretty and unusually tall or something. Janelle.
Janelle, was it? Yeah.
She's just too pretty. She's too pretty for you.
She's got form.
She's just too pretty.
Those big threats on a rock, a stone, a pebble. Pebble threat.
A pebble, that's it.
Pebble threat.
Obviously, it's really hard for them to find the shooter based on witness descriptions. I mean, I'm sure the composite sketches that were done of this clown were very good and all, but I'm not sure that the person ran around in their normal lives wearing a clown outfit.
And the circus wasn't in town. Really,
and before you laugh at that, yes, they did do composite sketches.
Do you have one?
Based on what the witnesses provided. Oh, well, they had orange curly hair and a big bulbous red nose.
I think we know it wasn't a real clown given the shoes, don't we? Because if it was a real clown, they would have had real shoes.
Oh, was it a real
on.
Clown?
I wouldn't have thought it was a real clown.
What is a real clown?
Well, someone who does it all the time. Because they would have been able to run in their clown shoes, I reckon.
Well,
you know, like the bullfighting when they had the clown to distract the rodeos.
Yeah, okay.
I reckon it wasn't that kind of it.
Okay.
The new clown.
Okay, so the nature of the pretense itself actually provided more clues or leads for the detectives than you might have thought. And by that I mean the flowers and the blooms.
I mean, I reckon if they can get anything from that, they've done more than what I suspect, because I'm at a loss already as to where to start. So that's good work.
Yeah. What do I do with this? So while you were having technical difficulties, Carla and I were talking about floristry. We were talking about flowers that you send
and
to people.
And into flora and how you get shitty ones when you send them to.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, we were talking about that.
Where
that's
do you
exactly
send them to? Starts with W.
Wollongong.
Wollongong. Yeah, we heard all of that.
That's right. The thing about it is, though, like, one thing that we can agree, even though you might get a couple of carnations and a sprig of gyp when you actually expect, you know, a much better arrangement, is that flowers die. You know,
yes.
We were talking about how eventually flowers die. And flowers can die quite quickly. So these flowers looked quite fresh, which led the investigators to realise that they must have been bought pretty recent to the shooting.
Yep.
So they weren't bought 3 weeks ago or last week. And the other thing about the balloons is...
Oh, the dwarf one, Snow White, must have been quite particular.
I'm not sure if it was Snow White or the You're the Greatest, but one of the two of them were only sold by a specific supermarket in the area. Yeah. That was their first clue, was to go around and try and work out where the flowers and the balloons had been procured and possibly who had bought them. So they start investigating and they go to a place which is a Publix supermarket, and they were actually able to find two employees who told them that they'd sold the balloons and the flowers to a woman. Right. So now we know that the clown's probably a chick. She was tall, with long dark hair pulled back in a ponytail, and had mannish mannerisms.
What?
Oh,
it's a lot
now,
to remember.
Elaborated on what mannish mannerisms actually means.
She scratched her nuts a lot.
Well, I suspect she grabbed her crotch.
Because this is 1990.
Yeah, so maybe she made a couple of inappropriate comments to women.
Yeah,
in
could
the
have
room,
done.
You know,
nice tits,
nice
or show us
Sheila.
Your tits.
I don't know.
So it was a woman with male mannerisms. Is that what we're saying? Or that's
my,
what they're
my anaconda don't okay, want managed. None unless you've got buns, hun. She could have been
elaborated.
Throwing a bit of that around.
Could have been. The police also tracked down where the clown costume came from, and they spoke to two employees at the Spotlight costume shop. So the employees told them a tall, thin, white woman with long brown hair had shown up late in the day when they were closing up and demanded that they sell her the clown costume. It was pretty memorable for them because they told her to come back the next day because literally they were closing the store. But she said, no, I have to buy it now. She bought from them the costume as well as the makeup, which included white makeup to cover her entire face. But she didn't want to buy the clown shoes. Maybe she had her own for all we know. Or maybe they don't make,
for a good getaway.
Make for an easy getaway when you shoot someone in the face. Yeah. That's right. As it turns out, this purchase was 2 days before the murder. So then the police got an anonymous tip. Got to love a good tipster. A female caller advised the police to have a little look-see into Marlene's husband, Mike, and a woman named Sheila Keane.
That's where Sheila came from.
I like it. Sheila and Marlene.
Yeah, everyone at Bargain Motors, right, knew that Sheila and Mike were having it off. I mean, it on.
Oh.
Yeah, so everyone at the work, there was lots of rumours that said, and some people said that they saw them have sex in the office and, you know, so.
So she worked, did she work there?
She worked there as a repossession agent, as a colleague of Mike's. Yeah, that's right. But what that did mean, though, is that when she went around repossessing vehicles that people had, you know, not paid for, whether it's rental or secondhands or whatever, and when, and in some of those cases it was a bit, people could be a bit aggressive, it could be dangerous. So she did carry with her a .38 caliber handgun, which happens to be the same caliber
of gun
that shot Marlene.
The thing that I find most staggering about that is not the fact that she had the gun. It's when I think of it in the context of Australia, and if someone had to turn up at your house to, I don't know, repossess it and say that you knew they had a gun on them, it'd be like, what? Like, it's just not something we really have in our society. That's right. It's just different, isn't
completely
it?
Completely right? outside of our thinking. Also, Sheila had been married, but police found out she and her husband had split up about a month before Marlene had been shot, and she was living in a rental possibly paid for by Mike. So the police now believe Sheila Keane had done it.
Yep.
Or at least had a lot to do with the shooting.
Yep.
And so they create a photo lineup and they put it past the witnesses, more specifically the employees at the costume shop and at the public supermarket, and they identify Sheila Keane as the woman who bought the flowers and balloons and who bought the costume, although one of the people in the costume shop wasn't quite sure if it was the same, if it was Sheila.
Okay.
Anyway, police get a further break in the case when they found the white Chrysler LeBaron that was used in the shooting. They found it 4 days after Marlene was shot.
Yeah.
It was parked in a Winn-Dixie parking lot just 8 miles from Marlene's house. A search of the car uncovered orange-yellow fibres on the floor of the car that resembled
clown hair, yes.
hair from a clown wig. Several strands of brown human hair were found also. That same day, police obtained a search warrant for Sheila's apartment. They found orange-yellow fibres on clothing inside her home that seemed to match the ones found in the car. Also clown hair. They also found black lace-up shoes and orange-yellow acrylic fibres were found on the sole of the shoes. So now the shoes are linked to curly clown wig hair, not just, you know, any shoes. So there is some physical evidence to suggest that the wig and the shoes were together at some point. So frankly, she should have got the clown shoes after all.
Things are looking bad for Sheila.
Things are not looking good for Sheila.
Police believe the orange-yellow acrylic hair fibres were the same as those found in the car. They also found similar fibres on the balloon ribbon that was left at Marlene's house. But it's 1990 and they don't have enough scientific capability to really be able to identify and categorically say the fathers. The fibres are the same. Mm. See, that's that thing that can't understand my accent. The fibres are the same. They also don't have day and night profiling. Sorry. They also don't have DNA profiling to the extent that their hair hasn't been matched with Sheila, so the brown human hair. So regardless of the fact that the police are pretty sure Sheila is the person who done it, the evidence as far as they're concerned is too circumstantial and they can't arrest her and the case, unfortunately, goes.
What?
On. What? No. Hang on.
They didn't even get her into questionnaire?
How?
You would think, wouldn't you?
I would have thought that that was pretty.
Oh, no, they did. They questioned her. She said, oh, I was at work. Nothing to do with it. Yeah, they questioned her. Of course they did.
But could she prove that she was at work?
I guess. Not really. No. Couldn't really tell them where she'd been. I was out repossessing cars.
Oh, right, because she wasn't in the office, right? Yeah. That's right. I was thinking she was in the office. And what about the husband? Nothing.
We can't place her at the scene apart from circumstantial evidence of these fibres. The husband was on his way to a race day.
Yeah, so he's
out of the scene. They can't. In 1990, they couldn't.
Okay.
You know, they couldn't.
But did they at least say they were having an affair or something? Were they having an affair?
They denied it.
Okay.
No, we're not. It's just gossip and scuttlebutt.
Okay.
Right.
End of story.
Thank you. If you'd been involved in an affair and one of you may or may not have murdered the other person's wife, what do you think you'd do?
Sorry, which one were you? Were you the one that had committed the crime or the one that was about to get in, like, into bed with the other person?
Choose the
character. Are you saying you wouldn't move in together straight away?
Mike or Sheila? Yeah. That's what I wouldn't do.
All right. Yes. Go public with a relationship maybe? I don't know.
I wouldn't do that either. No. Yeah. What would you do? I personally would break up if we were having an affair, remove myself completely from the situation, move away somewhere and say I had nothing to do with any of that. Just me personally.
Sheila, on the other hand.
However.
I might not move to Tennessee with the other person and start a restaurant together with them called the Purple Cow in 1993 and then subsequently marry this person in 2002.
That's nonsense.
Worked out well for Sheila.
12 years after Marlene's death.
Were they getting a little bit of stick or a little bit of heat maybe from some of the locals or who they worked with or maybe the children? Or there's only one son left, wasn't there? But, you know, was anybody else, the Pratts, was anybody else a little bit kind of annoyed by this hookup?
Oh, I'm sure they were, but with Marlene unfortunately dead, I'm sure Mike would have done whatever he could to dissolve the estate, leave whatever he could to Joe, who's the remaining son.
Yep.
So Joe's 22, I think, at this point, so young adult, so he'll just send him on his way, and then he pisses off with Sheila. Yeah. Mm. And I'm sure they were being investigated. Like, they knew that people were looking at them, but there just wasn't enough evidence.
I just can't believe that there wasn't enough evidence. I'm really sorry. But if people had seen this woman, and the woman was Sheila, right, who had purchased they'd been in the supermarket and bought the balloons and the thing, and had been at the costume shop.
She did it all in cash, yes. And because one of the witnesses said, yes, that's her, and one said no, I can't be sure. Okay.
Yeah.
It just wasn't enough to be able to say bang to rights. Put it this way. Not enough to be sure that you'd get a prosecution because that's what they look for, right? They want to make sure that when they put them through all of that expensive process, they're going to go to jail for it.
Yeah.
That's the police's job. If they're going to, they want a proper conviction, and they want, and you know, the DA and the prosecutor's office won't entertain going to court on it or allowing them to charge them properly until they know they're going to get a full conviction.
Poor Marlene, being shot in the face.
I know. Ugh. Now, some of the people at the Purple Cow, for whatever reason, clearly felt that there was something amiss. And I'm really not sure why they'd even look into the backgrounds of their employers. But someone did, and there were rumours that Sheila had shot Mike's former wife dressed as a clown. Detectives spoke to a former employee who said that Sheila had actually dressed up as a clown at one of their Halloween nights. Not that that necessarily means anything, but not only is it suspect, it's also a bit gross.
Oh, no, it's sick.
But as we've learned with other cases, the detectives don't give up and periodically continue to carry out tests, and the case was reopened in 2013 in the hope that DNA, now we've got DNA on the scene, that we'd get a match to something.
Mm-hmm.
There were other interesting aspects to the case file, including a statement made by a previous employee of A Bargain Motors, Claude Poitras, something like that. He told the police about an incident that happened 45 days before Marlene was murdered. It's a little complicated, but basically Mike's business had a major competitor called Payless Car Rentals, and a couple named Mr. and Mrs. Restivo, mistakenly called Bargain Motors, to organise the return of a rental car that they'd actually hired from Payless.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought they were ringing Payless to organise this drop-off, but they rang a Bargain Motors instead. And apparently that's because Mike was so dodgy that he advertised that he was Payless at certain points in time. So it was no wonder it was confusing. Yeah. So this car that they needed to drop off was a white Chrysler LeBaron, strangely. And according to Claude, Mike told them to leave, said to this couple, leave the cars in the visor at the lot at Payless and we'll pick it up. But he knew the car, he knew that it wasn't a car that belonged to a Bargain Motors. So Claude told police he drove Michael and Sheila to Payless Car Rentals and they basically stole the car and told him not to tell anyone about it. You know, they took it. And they said that they were doing it as payback for Payless suing them or something, right? And the police are pretty convinced that that's the car that was later used as the getaway car in Marlene's shooting. Of course, when they asked her if she'd ever been in a Chrysler LeBaron, she said, no, of course not. But let us remember that her hair, or dark hairs were found in the vehicle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the investigation looked into the DNA evidence on two different types of samples of the acrylic fibers and human hair. And we're now able to determine that the acrylic fibers found in the car and on the soles of the shoes found in Sheila's apartment and on the ribbon of the balloon were identical in composition, which is whatever, right? But, they're all the same, but still. But when they compared the human hair found in the car against Sheila's hair, they had 100% DNA match.
Her pants are on fire.
So finally, this is now we're up to 2017, right? So 27 years after Marlene's murder.
27 years later. Jesus.
Police arrested Sheila Keane Warren and charged her with first-degree murder. After multiple trial delays, which Sheila was in custody waiting for trial for nearly 6 years, very unexpectedly, she pled guilty to second-degree murder.
Not another guilty
plea.
Oh, wow.
To second-degree murder. So she took a plea deal.
Yeah.
And it was to avoid going to trial and possibly being found guilty and sentenced to either life or indeed death because Florida had initially wanted her to have the death penalty. By pleading to the second-degree murder and taking into account that she had already the time she'd already served and, you guessed it, good behaviour in jail, Sheila's sentence was 12 years minus tons of time. So at this point in time, she could well be released from prison within a year.
What?
Oh.
So she's arrested in 2017 and she's probably going to be out in 2024.
What a mole.
The state of Florida originally wanted to execute her, but now she's going home in 10 months, Rosenfeld, her defense attorney, said. While it was difficult to plead guilty to a crime she did not commit, it was kind of a no-brainer when there's a guarantee you'll be home with your family. Ugh. Michael Warren was convicted in 1994 of grand theft, racketeering and odometer tampering.
What year was that, sorry, Schmitty? Apologies.
1994.
Oh.
He served almost 4 years in prison, a punishment his then-attorney said was the disproportionately long because of suspicions he was involved in his wife's death.
So is that when after they'd gone to Tennessee he got arrested there?
He has never been charged with her murder. I did hear in a YouTube presentation, which I don't think was a proper documentary, it was just a weird PowerPoint presentation really, that a lawyer at some point had given advice to Mike prior to Marlene's death in regards to tax fraud or something, but he asked an odd question to him. He said, if a man murdered his wife and got away with it, would he get all of her assets? Apparently the lawyer said, yeah, but provided you didn't do the murder yourself, got an accomplice to do it, and there was no way of linking the man and the accomplice to the death,
nice lawyer.
Then, yeah, you probably would get it, yeah. Worse yet, he said, for example, if the accomplice dressed as a clown and no one could identify
what
them.
What a coincidence.
And my next line is, how's that for a little coinky-dink? So Mike's main concern, of course, was losing the money if he divorced his wife. So instead of doing things the legal way, he allegedly got his girlfriend to do it. But I say allegedly because he's never been charged in connection to Marlene's death. And that is the story of the killer clown, who, unlike John Wayne Gacy, actually did dress as a clown when she killed Marlene.
Wow.
What do you reckon?
I'm a bit flabbergasted, okay, really. I've got a lot of questions about him and her and them getting married and... Do we know it?
So he to this day says, no, of course she didn't have anything to do with it. I would never have married someone who killed my Marlene.
So they're saying that she's absolutely didn't do it, but she's going to plead. Okay.
She pled guilty because I think, well, her defence team probably said, plead guilty, you've already done 6 years because you've been pending trial.
Yep.
We'll get you a low sentence of, say, 12 years minus good behaviour. You'll be out in no time at all. You know, you may as well just plead guilty. And then there's no risk of you getting a life sentence for this, and there's risk of you getting the death penalty. And because she pled guilty to it, a second degree, I'm assuming there's no she just took second degree, and I'm not even sure why it was on the table, because at the end of the day, the premeditation is clearly there. The stealing of the car 45 days earlier, the buying of the outfit 2 days earlier, you know, she didn't just wake up that morning. And even if you did just wake up that morning and decide to dress and go and shoot someone, it's still premeditated. It's not a spur of the moment or clown passion crime. I don't understand why they even let her plead on second.
Yeah.
Unless the prosecution thought there were too many holes in their case and they just wanted a conviction one way or the other.
Quite strange, isn't it?
It is, and it is to your point, it's terrible. And Joe, the son, the one remaining son, I think he said something once Sheila finally, you know, was found guilty of this. I think he said something like, you know, God be with you or something. And it was, for him, it was more just a bit of closure, I guess. Finally, they had sort of an answer as to who had done it. I know for a fact they all thought she'd done it. You know, no one really believed otherwise. They were just glad that the system had finally been able to get to the point where it was on record that she had. So sad, isn't it?
And it really is, actually. It's just awful. And just such a vile way to just get rid of someone.
I don't know. Oh, no. I don't know. We've covered some other pretty vile ways.
Of course. Mm. It's just another vile way, I guess. But just the intensity and just being so, I don't know.
I think it's the coldness and the callousness of it.
Yeah. Yeah, just.
To walk up, shoot someone, and calmly walk back like nothing's happened.
Yes.
And to get caught and to get a
I wonder who her accomplice was. Yeah, the driver. That's interesting.
It is.
Well, I looked around, couldn't see anything on it, but I reckon it was Claude. The same man who drove them to pick up that Chrysler Baron. I think so, yeah.
Oh.
I didn't read. I don't know why I think that. I just do. It would have been, probably would have been an employee or someone like that. It wasn't Mike. We know that.
Okay.
Because he definitely wasn't there.
See, that's probably a second degree murder thing. Yeah, if you don't know who the other person in the car was.
But she's the shooter.
I know, but I'm saying in terms of evidence, and if they don't have someone who was in the car, they can't say who that person was. Whereas if they knew absolutely who it was, that would be pretty resounding. I was there as a, you know, eyewitness. Yeah.
She could have been the driver. Her hair was in there because she could have been the driver is what you're saying. That's the sticking point.
That's not what I was saying, actually.
It's a good point,
that is interesting. Though. At the beginning you said that there was definitely another driver.
There is, yeah.
But if they were unable to ever say who that is, well, I'm saying if that person had been able to be identified, then we really would have been in, you know,
exactly, a better position. That's right. Whereas she could argue, no, I was the driver, I didn't shoot her. Yeah. So that's probably why the second degree was on the table. Even though everyone thinks she shot her, you know what I mean? Look, I bought the balloons and the flowers and I bought the clown costume, but I wasn't wearing it. I didn't pull the trigger. I was just driving the car.
Yes.
Do you get me?
Yep.
Yeah.
Still an accessory.
Absolutely.
Not that she's ever said any of that either. Yeah, but it's a different charge. Yeah. So for me, the unnamed and possibly non-existent lawyer who planted the seed of clown killer is the one I'd think I'd sentence. I don't know how reputable this source was. This is a YouTube thing.
Yeah.
Where they talked about this. I think it was a lawyer had allegedly come forward to say, oh, yeah, I had a weird conversation with him at X point where he asked this question. And, oh, whoops.
I gave a demonstrative example. Yeah. Oh, great.
Yeah, you know, I never expected that to happen.
So if he had said the person could have been like in the chicken suit, then, you know, Sheila would have been in the chicken suit.
That's right.
But see, what's interesting about that, obviously, again, is the connection directly to Mike. You know, that wasn't a conversation he had with Sheila. That was a conversation that was had with Mike, which then implicates him. If he shared that.
I believe Mike totally told her to do it.
Yeah.
I believe the two of them hatched the plan with Mike very carefully making sure he had a rock-solid alibi. Couldn't be The only thing that he didn't really think through properly was the connection to Sheila.
Yeah.
because everyone connected them immediately.
Of course.
But the fact that she was dressed in such a fashion as he couldn't identify that that was her made it impossible to truly connect the two. Yeah. And therefore, exactly as the lawyer's advice was, yeah.
Hmm. I've got a little an idea of a punishment for Mike and Sheila. Wherever they are, they need to be haunted by a clown that is the clown of Marlene Aaron. Is that her name? They need, you know, like a, like yes, an evil, Warren, like a Marlene Warren. Of course, that was her married name. That's right. Marlene Warren. They need to be haunted by an like an evil, sadistic clown that is in the image of a demonic kind of Marlene because they've turned to, you know, Marlene's resting peacefully, I'm sure.
Marlene.
But, you know, something that is, you want to play with clowns and I will show you how horrifying they are. Oh, God, that's just weird. It's disappointing that in a way. I'm so glad that she was.
Eventually,
did time. But I hate that idea that he still can, you know, your wife shot in the face.
And
terrible.
Don't you worry. I'm absolutely sure that when she's out, they'll pick up the pieces and off they go again.
Of course.
Yeah,
I was thinking something along the lines of because she had manly mannerisms, she might be at a bar that John Wayne Gacy is at and he might snaffle her back to his house. Give her a bit of Gacy love.
Oh, show you a bit of what a real clown.
Because, like, it's so conniving and it's so, you know, calculated. And so disrespectful is not the word, but just to think that.
Money-driven.
The complete lack of, you know, concern for Marlene's life to just go, well, you know, we need this money and we don't want to do it legally because we might lose some. So let's just go and kill her.
And they've been married 14 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you would think that someone who's been married to someone for 14 years would be more invested in the effect on the son as well. And they've gone through the horrible thing of losing John Jr. You know, like surely Mike was affected by that. Actual grief about the child as well. It's just no consideration for the impact on Joe, the surviving son. It's awful.
Do you reckon
it's more interesting getting his
wondering is, given that she separated from her husband a month before, was she the one trying to speed things up because she now didn't have a husband?
She might
because that sort of she seems like a bit of a trigger. I'm not saying he's a good bloke by any stretch. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but...
I'm just trying to work out who the mastermind behind it was.
Well, the only thing that makes me err on the side of Mike is the possibly bullshit thing. This lawyer coming out saying that he'd given that advice when Mike had asked that question. But, again, I'm not really sure how reputable is what I'm looking for. Reputable that source is,
I'm quite concerned about how hard it's getting to get away with murder. It's that they practically did it.
Well, I know. Swanee thought a clown.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, absolutely.
No. And don't buy flowers.
I wasn't thinking about how many farms come off that wig.
Like technology's come a long way.
Ooh. That wig was a nightmare. Yeah.
Too much static.
100%.
So, God, when we do need to...
That must be such a gift for them, all that testing. Wow.
A gimp suit. Oh,
that's a lot.
Something the opposite. Like something slippery. You know, that's really tight.
That's an excellent idea.
Oiled up gimp suit.
Or what do you call it? Lycra. You know those weird lycra suits that go like they call them ninja, but they're used by fetishists as well. You don't know what I'm talking about, do you? I had to buy some when we did Mamma Mia because we had a nightmare scene and it was really weird buying these on eBay because they were actually – apparently, like cosplay/fetish shit.
Did anyone come knocking at your door once they were delivered?
No. Full bodysuit, like full black or whatever colour you like, covers your head and everything. That would be better because you haven't got all this shedding. You know, you don't want curly hair. You don't want, you know, that sort of stuff. But it still shows
materials,
that's it.
Can you,
you've got to avoid the shedding.
Can you change your body shape with one of them? Like if you chucked a few cushions in, would it stretch over it?
You could put some Spanx on underneath and some cushions.
Yeah,
they're lycra, yeah. Yeah, you have to do that. You have to do a bit of like, oh, the
body
strangely fat person.
You've got to hide your manly mannerisms.
Yeah. In a weird gimp suit, showed up. Yeah.
You need to be a man.
I don't even know, but that's why it's funny.
That's why I keep referring to it. What on earth is that?
What did she do? Yeah, scratched her dick totally while she was there or something? What was that?
That was a bit of a, I thought that was going to be like a whole trans kind of thing then. I was like, oh, was that because something happened in 1990 and people didn't have, the terminology that we would have now? I didn't know. No, it was just a red herring.
She was very pretty at that age. So I think she was about 26 at the time. She was very pretty. So I'm surprised they said she had manly mannerisms.
That was confusing. Mm. That threw me off.
So Mike didn't get anything then, did he?
I think he got all the assets, yeah.
No, what I mean is in terms of punishment.
No, punishment. No.
Nothing.
It was what he did time away. For, what all the stuff that he'd done wrong.
I'm going to assume that he was involved. Because there's obviously not enough evidence to convict him. And I think I would like him to be crossing a road and get hit by some crazed clown making a mad getaway from a murder scene. That would work for me.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that. I don't really know. I don't know if I've given a sentence, but I think, if that lawyer did go around saying things, he needs to think twice about that, because he might be talking to someone who's literally planning to murder someone. And otherwise, I just think for...
Do you want to shoot anyone in the thighs?
Yeah, maybe I'll shoot Mike in the thighs.
With some day and night testing.
In the thighs. Don't ask me why. We haven't done any day and night testing. And you know, when you get those fathers, they're hard to test. I mean, fibres. I mean, honestly. Shoot, Microsoft Word speech to text. Yeah. I knew there'd be some in it. I proofed it a couple of times, but I got tired, so I'm not surprised. But anyway, that's my story.
Nice, yeah.
Hope you enjoyed it.
I did. Poor Marlene.
Oh. I know. I hope Marlene rests in peace. And
son
Joe has got on with his life and been
good,
all right.
Good, good.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you very much. And as we say every week, miss you already.
Ciao, ciao.
Ciao, ciao.
Thanks for listening to Trial by Wine. You can contact us at trialbywine@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe to Trial by Wine on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to support us, you can become a patron at www.patreon.com/trialbywine. Or visit our website, www.trialbywine.com, to donate to us. Your support will help us cover many more cases and apply wacky sentences. We really appreciate you listening and hope you tell everyone about us. Our cover art is by John Christo and music is by Beauchamp from pixabay.com.